Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, what were you for Halloween?
I was nothing.
I was nothing?
A guy turning the lights out when the kids knock on the door.
Dude, I had a great costume this Halloween.
What was that?
I went as something really fragile and brittle, Simone Gagné's groin.
Exactly right, dude. I wonder what exactly that costume entailed.
Well, dude.
Not for family programming?
Would you like me to show you?
No thanks.
Talking to that guy is snake bit, dude. Yeah. Speaking of snake bit, hello, Mary Gabrick. Out again.
Good night.
Not like we don't have our own injury problems, although it doesn't seem to be stopping us, dude.
No, certainly not. Sharks win again, just finished. We quickly scanned through the DVR of the Blue Jackets game a moment ago.
Yeah, we watched most of it, actually. We ended up just having to scan through a little bit of the end, but we saw the best parts.
The shootout.
Yeah, the shootout. Great win for the Sharks on the road. This is how many wins in a row, dude?
Six, I think.
Six wins in a row.
Yes. Mm. Pretty amazing.
7-2-1 in our last 10, dude. That's pretty exciting.
Good win on the road. Blue Jackets, definitely tough. Tough team.
Yeah, I mean, my only criticism of tonight is I really think we missed Jonathan Chichu.
Yes. Yeah, really. How many points you got now?
Two.
Okay, awesome. Dude, before we get any further, I forgot to say it's episode 72, but even before that, dude. You see what this is?
Dude, I forgot about this.
You forgot about this. Dude. I got Doug a mystery puck. Doug is a big mystery puck fan. I have a few mystery pucks. I think I have two Marcel Gotch pucks, which is kind of unfortunate. But Doug wasn't able to go to the game on Friday, and I went, and I know Doug likes mystery pucks, so I picked one up for him. I had to open it slightly to make sure you didn't win the prize, because you would have been really pissed if I'm like, here you go, dude, and it's like unwrapped, you're like, big winner, and you're like, oh, and you didn't get it. So I opened it just enough to see that there's no prize. Here you go, dude, open it up.
So you don't know who's in there.
I know who's in there.
I guessed that it was Kent Huskins.
You guessed.
That was my guess.
That was your guess, okay.
Dude, oh, man. I have to say that if I wanted it to be someone, I'm going to say I either want Jody Shelley.
Yes.
Or would love to get, of course, the obvious Heatley or Thornton. But, dude, I'll go bananas right now on the podcast if it's Jody Shelley
or
Scott Nichol.
Yeah.
Scott Nichol, dude. I got Scott Nichol. Dude.
Did you peek?
No.
Oh, really? Okay, good.
Dude, that's awesome.
So that's legitimate surprise and joy.
Dude, we just had a real moment here on the podcast.
We did.
If only cookies were coming.
If only.
That was legit. Dude, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Sure.
And I owe you $20.
Well, you know. Make it up to me in beer or whatever.
Oh, well, all right then.
Well, all right.
Dude, should we talk about some of the games from this last week?
Yeah. We got a few emails too, so we got to get to those.
Sweet. What do you think about the homestand? Because I wasn't there on Friday, but we did see the game on Wednesday. Rather dull. it wasn't action-packed against the Kings.
No.
But the result was there.
It was two very even teams.
I felt like they were playing pretty close to the vest.
Yeah.
You know, although there were 30 shots for the Sharks, 29 by the Kings. Yep. Some good goaltending on both sides.
Yeah. No special teams goals. It was pretty even. You could say pretty boring. Kind of a bit of a duel, pitcher's duel, if you want to use a baseball analogy. The Avs game was the game that you weren't able to see in person, but I take it you saw it on TiVo.
I did. What do you make of the Avs now that we've seen them twice? Now, do you think that this is a team that's going to be able to hang on, or are they fading finally?
I think they're fading because, you know, I wrote in the blog right after, which might have been heresy at the time, but it looks like I was maybe a little bit ahead of the bandwagon. I said the Avs looked very ordinary except for Craig Anderson. Craig Anderson made a lot of saves. Sharks had 46 shots total scored and then three of them. So he made 43 saves for the night. And if it weren't for Anderson, I think they would have lost huge. And 3-1 looks like a pretty close game, and it really wasn't that close. The Sharks didn't score on the power play, but faceoffs 39-24, shots 46-25. It was It was quite a dominating performance for the most part by the Sharks, and Klow finally got off the schneid. He scored against the Kings in the shootout, which doesn't actually count as a goal against your stats, which is kind of a bummer. Shootout goals don't count as goals in the race to the Art Ross Trophy, but Klow finally got a legit goal against the Avs, and he's been sort of off and running ever since. He got a point tonight, too, against...
Now, all of a sudden, he went from 1 point to seven.
Yeah.
Just like that.
He had points against Carolina as well. So, Ryan Klow, good to see he's finally, you know, although playing with Joe Thornton never hurts.
Yeah, but, I mean, listen, we'll take it how we can get it.
That's
right. I think it kind of jumps into our email question when we get there is, you know, what's going to happen when the lines get reshuffled? But we'll get to that in a second.
Oh, huh? I thought you were talking about the Jody Shelley Botox question. Because we did get an email from Emily saying, this is my first time writing in and I'm a longtime listener. I have a very important question. And I'm wondering what you think. Does Jody Shelley use Botox on his list? Any speculation would be great. Well, what can I say? But there's one reason why I started a podcast or wanted to start a podcast. And it was to answer questions like these. This is important stuff, dude. Jody Shelley, is he using Botox? Or maybe, as Emily might be actually referring to, as collagen. Sometimes when you see the actresses get really big lips like Meg Ryan, she looks like Donald Duck. It's actually like collagen, like fat stuff they put in their lips. What do you think, dude? Jody Shelley? Collagen? Botox? Both? Neither?
I gotta say that, you know, I think that Jody Shelley probably has a pretty wide array of beauty techniques and regimens that
think
he goes through in the morning. Personally, you know, I have a list here of a few things that I know that Jody does in the morning. Mm. Number one, wake up.
Okay.
All good. Right.
Always a plus.
Number two, stop it. Punch me in face.
Got it.
All right. That's number two. Three is eat a complete breakfast.
Mm. Yeah. Got to get the Wheaties.
Four is stop it. Punch me in face. So, you know, I think that what's happening here is, you know, if we're looking for how Jody's lips are getting so big, you know, he's getting punched in the face. But you'll be surprised. Number five is play 3 hours of Farmville on Facebook.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So
I wonder if he's got the black sheep yet.
You know, you'd be surprised that he would be such a big fan, but evidently he is. And below that is Brad Stavis, punch me in the face.
Got it. One more time. Got it. So he's got a regimen.
He does. I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit. Come on, Jody Shelley having Botox, dude.
He's just got the calf implants. Everybody knows that. Just the calf implants.
He does. He kind of looks like he's got chapped lips all the time.
Yeah. He's just got the little laser for the monobrow, maybe?
He does.
You think so?
I don't know.
Think he got laser?
Does he have a monobrow?
No. It's just lasers, cool.
Dude, you know, it's all fun and games to talk about Jody Shelley like this, like without him sitting here.
Right.
Would you ever have this conversation to his face?
Yeah, I might ask him that.
About his Botox and his monobrow?
Monobrow, maybe not. No. Botox is obviously a joke. Monobrow, a little close to the line there. Don't you think?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, so those are the kind of email questions that make this show great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening.
Thanks, Emily. Appreciate it. But no, you had an actual email that you wanted to talk about. What was that, dude?
Oh, yes. Dude, and of course I closed it up. It had to do with when the guys come back.
I got it right here. It's from who's it from?
It's from Jeremy.
Oh, all the way to San Jose.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy. You go ahead, dude.
It says, dudes, what do you see the lines when Seto, Klow, and Mitchell, and in parentheses, and Vessi are back? Which rookie has truly earned a spot versus filling in for the injured? Dude, what do you think? I mean, right now, the lines that we saw tonight were Thornton, Heatley, Klow. Mm-hmm. Second line was Ferriero, Marlowe,
and
Malhotra. Mm-hmm. Third line was McGinn and Nickel and
Ortmeier.
Mm-hmm. And the fourth line was Shelley, Stobbets, and Couture. Right. So who's the first one to go back to Worcester based on tonight's lineup?
The first one to go, I would still say Logan Couture.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Because he's not I think he's done an admirable job in limited minutes, but he's a top six type player, right?
That's Jeremy's second question. You dudes were high on Couture after one game. Now that you've seen him more, any new thoughts? I think he's actually done a pretty decent job on the fourth line. The fourth line's had some chances. They've really sort of picked it up. If not chances, they keep the puck deep. And there was one
Oh man,
there was one shift.
Yeah, we caught a glimpse of the future in about 30 seconds tonight when you saw Logan Couture playing with Jamie McGinn, and I mean they rushed in there. Couture made a pass around the back of the net, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like no one was there, but he just knew that McGinn was coming in, dude.
And McGinn was there, walked right out front, scoring chance right away. Bam,
yeah, bam, just so. Like that. And I'd love to see more of that. I don't think we're in the place right now where they're really needing to experiment with that. But, you know, we got into a little bit of this last week. You know, McGinn and Couture together, I think they've proven that they can score 80, 90 points on the junior level. They were drafted to play together.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Wilson has every intention on this being part of the future.
Mm-hmm.
So we just saw a little glimpse of it, but I don't think we're going to see much of it the rest of the year. Couture's going
to
go back.
They want him to get lots of playing time. Mm-hmm. He's scoring well in Worcester. They want to have him continue his maturation process.
So then who's next?
Let's see. I'm on the record. I've said that I don't think Ryan Vesey is going to be on this team long term because I still think Seto goes back to the top line. You put Chloe on the second line when Pavs comes back. So that's where I think you go with that. And you put Mitchell on the third line. So I think Vesey is the odd man out.
See, I think it's very possible that if Ryan Chloe is continuing to produce, that McClellan might not mess with it and just leave Chloe on the top line and have the second line be Pavelski, Seto, and Marlow.
A very dangerous second line.
Which would
be
a top line for, you know,
yeah, that's a huge
half the other teams in the NHL.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this too. I mean, you basically have a top six forward line that's injured right now in Mitchell and Pavelski and Seto.
Right.
So, you know, when Mitchell comes back, he slides into the third line. You play him with Malhotra. You play him with Nickel, Ortmeier,
maybe
whatever.
Ortmeier, right? You put Nickel on the fourth line to center because you want Nickel taking draws.
So I think the next guy that's going to go down is McGinn for the same reasons that you know, they want Couture and McGinn to be playing together instead of, you know, McGinn playing sporadic minutes. Although I think he's fared fairly well, dude, don't you think?
If the Sharks didn't sign Ortmeier, Nickel, and Malhotra, then McGinn would be on this team regularly.
Sure.
He'd be on this team. He'd be an everyday player. But they got those guys, and so this gives them the opportunity, or, you know, it's a bummer for McGinn, but he's going to be maybe working on his game a little bit more.
So this is, again, a credit to the depth that the San Jose Sharks have up front.
And that means Staubitz is probably the healthy scratch again.
Could be, though, but, you know, he was very effective tonight, actually. And I thought he's been pretty good the last couple nights.
Yeah, but I still think he takes, like, at least one dumb penalty per night. Tonight he got an instigator. The other night he got a dumb holding or a cross-checking call. It seems every night he goes a little bit too far over the line trying to be physical, and he takes a stupid penalty. That's the thing that I can't imagine the coaches really appreciating too much.
Dude, while we're talking about the Columbus game, how bad are the Columbus Blue Jackets?
How
announcers?
Bad are those announcers?
How many things did they get wrong tonight?
A lot. So, Sharks fans, maybe you're Randy and Drew fans. If you're not, I don't know why you're not, but appreciate what we have here in San Jose, both the radio team with Ruzanowski and Baker and the TV team with Randy Hahn and Drew Remenda, because the Columbus guys are brutal. They said at least five times that the Sharks have the worst road power play in the league, which is absolutely 100% wrong. They have the number one power play on the road in the league. So to say it that many times incorrectly and like so incorrectly, it like makes it hurt. It's just, it was tough for me to abide.
How was he talking about Douglas Murray too? He's a
big man.
He's a big man. He kept saying that over and over again.
Yeah, it's
he's
like they have one thing written. Like
Mark Edward Vlasic.
So the thing they had written next to Murray was big man. The thing they had written next to Scott Nickel was wins a lot of faceoffs, because they mentioned that he was 64% in the faceoff dot at least five times. It's just, guys, you know, do some more research or come up with something else. Don't say the same thing over and over. These guys are, oh, it was tough, man. Those guys are tough to listen to.
I felt like they didn't know anything about
the
other team. Like they were just kind of grasping at straws. You know, they anointed the Sharks, the team to beat in the West. Randy Robitaille was a heck of a hockey player. Tell that story about how you discovered Dan Boyle's career.
It's like, well, saw Dan Boyle and I thought he was a good player, and then I drafted him and bought him lunch.
I bought him a sandwich.
Good story. Tell it again.
Randy Robitaille, heck of a hockey player.
Exactly.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to be happy to go back to Randy and Drew tomorrow night.
So it sounds like Vesey maybe will be around as a scratch, but most likely they'll send him down.
I think so.
And McGinn and Couture will get sent down. So I think that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. But I think we've got really no concept of how quickly these guys are going to be coming back. It seems like Pavelski, from what I've read, is the closest, but yeah, not close enough to be playing. Maybe he'll play Saturday against Pittsburgh, dude, or do you think he's going to be out at least another week?
It's impossible to know. I mean, the rumor is he broke his foot. I don't think that's actually been confirmed anywhere, but that seems to be sort of the general knowledge. I don't know how long it takes to come back from that. I don't know. There's probably a million different kinds of breaks you can have and where they are. So just a question is, you know, maybe he can skate. He might be physically able to play. But the question is, if the bones haven't completely knit, do you really want to put him in there when the Sharks are playing this well?
Absolutely not.
No, you don't.
And I think that the Sharks are taking the right tactic here. We're winning. We're on top of the Western Conference again, mm-hmm, without, you know, two of our best players, mm-hmm, one of our most important bottom six forwards,
right,
and a real good depth player in Vesey.
That's
so
right.
Why mess with it?
Yeah.
Let him heal. And don't force them back too soon. It's again, the focus on the back end of the season is the main priority here.
Speaking of getting a lot of playing time, we saw Thomas Greiss in the second half of a back-to-back. He played in Philadelphia, a game we didn't really expect, considering the Sharks played, what, in Florida the night before? Was that right?
Right.
Are we gonna
see Atlanta.
Atlanta, excuse me. It was at Atlanta. We saw Nabokov. And then the next night, we saw Greiss against the Flyers. So we play the play the Blue Jackets tonight, Nabby. Does that mean tomorrow night against the Detroit Red Wings, who maybe aren't as scary as they once were, and we see Greiss tomorrow night?
I got to guess and say yes. I think the tactic, again, is that maybe the team will play harder in front of Greiss.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
You know,
that seemed to be the case in Philly, right?
Nabby played well tonight, but he sure was seeing a lot of rubber at the pass.
A steady diet of rubber.
That's another Columbus Blue Jacket announcer.
I don't really mind that saying, but you don't say it more than once.
A steady diet of rubber over and over again?
You don't say it more than once.
That was annoying.
The one thing is, actually, I thought Nabby's rebound control was a little off tonight. It looked like he was kicking stuff out right in front of the net along, mm-hmm, you know, a tricky shot. They were, like the announcers did say to their credit, they were definitely going low stick side all night, near side, far side, whichever it was, they were going low stick side. And a lot of times, if they were shooting from the far side, Nabby would kick those pucks right out into the crease. And the Sharks did a pretty good job of picking up those rebound opportunities, but there did seem to be quite a few of them that Nabby coughed up. So maybe we will see Greiss tomorrow.
I've got to say, yes.
Yes.
Odds are, Magic 8-Ball says, odds are yes. Or yes. Ask again later.
Ask again tomorrow.
Later. So we've got the Red Wings coming up, dude. Mm-hmm. They've really been scuffling. You got to think that the Sharks, the way that they're playing right now, they're going to go in and get a win. But, you know, the Red Wings are still the Red Wings, right?
Yeah.
And I haven't ever seen a game where Datsyuk and Zetterberg don't just come completely out of their shell, you know, playing against the Sharks. They love to play against the Sharks. Mm-hmm. So what does your gut tell you about tomorrow?
I don't like our chances. Maybe I like them better than I would have last year at this point. But the Sharks are a good road team this year. They played a lot of games on the road. Second half of a back-to-back always hurts. Against the Red Wings hurts. I'd say I'd be happy if the Sharks get a point tomorrow night. That's my prediction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about the game this weekend against Pittsburgh? We're already making dinner plans beforehand.
That's right.
This is the game where you circle it on the calendar. Mm-hmm. This is a huge benchmark moment early in the year for the Sharks, even though they're a little bit banged up. Pittsburgh's going to be banged up. No Malkin. That's pretty huge. So no Gonchar.
Yeah.
So they're as banged up as we are, but still that's a marquee matchup, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, best in the East versus best in the West. I mean, that's the game of the month. If you're only going to watch one Sharks game this month, fans, watch that one. Cause you're going to see the very best talent the NHL has to offer on Saturday night at the Tank. I'm sure it's going to be hopping. Stanley Cup champions. This is like you said, everybody looks and sees when the Stanley Cup champions are coming to town, and they make a note to themselves and say, make sure to have some steak and potatoes that night. Another great phrase the Blue Jackets commentators often uttered. Steak and potatoes? Isn't it meat and potatoes?
Yeah. Well, this one was the steak and potatoes line. Dude, and very quietly, the team that we're playing next Tuesday, the Nashville Predators, have won 4 of their last 5.
Really?
Did you know that?
I did not.
They've beaten Ottawa, Chicago, Dallas, and Minnesota.
Hmm.
And they lost a game in Chicago. So they're going to be coming in against the Sharks. They are playing on a swing. They get Anaheim and LA. So maybe we can hope that those teams might be able to beat them up a little bit. Dude, quick sidebar. Ducks, 4-7-2.
Yeah.
What gives there, dude?
Defense, it looks like. It looks like they're having... Well, here's the thing, right? The reason we thought the Ducks were going to be good is because, A, we thought their first line was going to be... I called their first line was going to be the best first line in the NHL. And, B, I thought that their defense with Wisniewski, even losing Boschman and Pronger, wasn't going to be that bad. It appears I was actually wrong on both counts. I mean, Getzlaff is killing my fantasy team, for one. Oh, he's killing it. I'm getting crushed by Getzlaff. What does he have, 2 or 3 goals or something like that?
They are the worst team in the Western Conference right now. They're tied with Minnesota with 10 points.
What's up with the Ducks?
Pretty brutal. Listen, I don't really care. I hope they continue to suck. I know it's not going to happen. They're going to come out of it, but I'll enjoy every moment of suckage that they have, just so long as they're not the 8 and we're the 1 again, because that would make me completely crazy, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, jeez.
Do we have another email?
Yeah, we do. I'm just reading through it. It's from Robin. He just wanted to say that he named Joe Thornton the Chiller Instinct Primetime Performer of October.
Now, he's a Phoenix Coyotes blogger, correct?
No. I think he writes the Chiller Instinct blog.
Right.
Was I wrong about that?
No, he does write the
Chiller
Instinct
blog. I have trouble keeping
all
these bloggers together. It's weird.
Oh, I thought he had something to do with the Phoenix Coyotes.
See, I would definitely give it to Marlowe. Maybe he mentioned that he had primetime performer, in that he means Saturdays and Sundays. So Joe had first star selections in 5 weekend games this month. So that's an interesting metric. I don't really know what it means, but it's kind of funny. So thanks for that note, Robin. Marlowe has been the one, though. That's another point tonight, or 2 points tonight. So this guy just doesn't stop. He just keeps going. So this dovetails into our next discussion that we're going to have. Has Marlowe played himself onto the Canadian Olympic team?
Well, I'm looking at an article that was posted on TSN just a moment ago, mm-hmm. where Pierre McGuire now has updated his picks for the Canadian Olympic hockey team, and he has two...
Mike Richards is a monster.
He has 2 San Jose Sharks making the team, dude. Can you guess the 2?
Boyle and Thornton.
No. Well, Dan Boyle is 1.
Yeah, but not Thornton?
No.
So he's got Marlowe then instead?
He does.
Weird. Okay.
Dude, he does not have Danny Heatley?
Well, I think he might be, you know, he's riding from the Great White North here, so Danny Heatley is definitely on everybody's
Isn't he
crap
the
list.
All-time Canadian, like,
scorer?
National team?
I don't know.
Goal scorer?
I mean, you're talking Gretzky and Mario.
For some reason, I feel like I heard that before, but, you know, I do drink a lot.
We both do.
That's a joke.
Sort of.
Dude, I can't disagree with those, but he has Ryan Getzlaff on the team.
Yeah.
How the hell do you put him on the team based on how he's playing right now?
Because you think he's going to bust out of it.
Vincent LeCavalier not on the team.
See, this is interesting because this goes back to an email that we got a long time ago from my friend Jeremy saying they want LeCavalier because he's French-Canadian. Do you think these kinds of political, this infighting politically might help LeCavalier and hurt Marlowe? Marlowe's not a French-Canadian.
It's being played in Vancouver.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, if it was in Montreal, I think it's different.
I mean, in terms of representing Canada, and I mean, the Montreal fans are some of the most rabid hockey fans there are.
Do they want to win? Or do they want LeCavalier?
I think whoever they pick, the Canada team is going to be the odds-on favorite to win.
That's true.
I mean, the Russian team is going to be stacked, but I'd still go with Canada in terms of how great they're going to be. I mean, you think of all the D that they're going to have at their disposal.
Their goaltending sucks. Fleury, Brodeur, Luongo.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
It's going to be ridiculous. Nabby's going to start for the Russians, don't you think? Or you think it'll be Khabibulin?
I think it's got to be Nabby, right?
Or Brizgalov was named one of the NHL Stars of October. Could it be Ilya Brizgalov?
No, it's going to be Nabokov.
Okay. You heard it here first.
Are you concerned about all of the San Jose Sharks that are going to be playing in international play?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, but you want to see these guys at the Olympics. I like watching Olympic hockey. I mean,
should we go?
Yeah, let's go. I'm sure tickets are readily available. I mean, it's only in Vancouver. Nobody cares about hockey up there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll go.
Yeah. Okay, sweet. Try to get some tickets here. I'll get on the internet.
Does anybody have any tickets they'd like to give us?
$30,000.
Email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com.
That's right. That's right.
Dude.
Yeah.
Do we have some news?
We do have some news. So I think the time has come that this weekend you're going to see our blog, which up till now has been sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. We're going to move it over to the dudesonhockey.com site. So it's going to be one-stop dudes shopping.
One-stop, all-inclusive dudes on hockey moment.
Dude,
it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we might have some updated features even, too.
Yeah,
right?
That's the thing.
We're moving on up.
We're going to get some more, hopefully some more features, make it a little bit easier to comment on posts. We're still, of course, going to have the podcasts, and we're going to try and do all the things that we've been doing on the blog, except over at dudesonhockey.com. That's the idea. So look for that around this weekend. And if you encounter any problems, you can email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com and we'll try to take care of it. Of course, the trick is to make all this happen without completely crashing everything and breaking everything that we've done so far. And that's going to be my first priority, although I'm sure I'm going to fail miserably at it. So have patience with us. I'm going to try to do it over the weekend so it doesn't kill anything too badly.
Dude, you're going to do great.
Yes. Well, the good thing is, dude, then you can install the iPhone app that will let you blog from your phone.
What?
Yeah, there's a WordPress app that you
awesome.
Can install. Yeah.
Killing more time
That's
when
right.
I should be working.
Yeah. Solitaire and WordPress.
Excellent.
Anyway, dude, do we have any other news?
I don't think so. I think it's been a great week for Sharks hockey. The team is coming together, dude.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think I've really got anything critical to say.
We got one more thing. I'm going to pimp what's coming along a month from now.
Okay.
I'm going to mention it because this has been in the works. It looks like it's going to happen. You may know that I'm on the radio Sunday nights on the Chomp Talk radio program on AM 1220 from 9 to 10 p.m.
Yes.
The guy who is the host of that show, Chaitin Chaudhary, friend of mine, he's actually going to be out of town a month from now on the 6th of December. And he has graciously asked us to take over his entire two-hour slot. So we're going to have 2 hours of Sharks Talk on the radio with yours truly and Doug Santana.
Dudes on Hockey style, dude.
Dudes on Hockey
Dudes
on Chomp
Hockey
Talk.
Dudes on Hockey is taking over the Sports Ramble and Chomp Talk.
So it's going to be Dudes on Hockey on Chomp Talk. We're already planning for it. We're trying to line up guests. We're trying to plan bits.
You can call us live on the phone.
We're going to need lots of callers that night.
We might have some prizes.
Yeah. There's things to be had, so it's gonna be some good stuff.
Should we talk about our new acquisition?
Yeah, we should. Oh, which acquisition?
I'm talking about what arrived in the mail last week.
Season tickets? No,
that no, wasn't dude.
Dude,
dude
what
you
was
wore it?
It
at the Sharks game
oh,
the other night.
Oh yeah,
dude,
we have Dudes on Hockey T-shirts.
That's right.
So you can't miss it,
dude. Here's the deal.
We're
going to wear our Dudes on Hockey t-shirts to the game on Saturday night. Okay. So all you got to do is look for two jokers in a, it looks like the Sharks t-shirts, except for the number is 2. And on the back, the player's name says Dude. So if you see us walking around the arena on Saturday night, please come up and say hello and tell us that you think we suck. And or at least shout dude at us or something. We'd love to hear from you. But we've got these t-shirts and I think, you know, it's possible we might make them available to our listeners through some sort of contest or something. Dude.
That's right. So instead, it doesn't look like we're going to go the selling route where we're actually going to let you buy them. You're going to have to earn them, dear listeners. We're going to have contests. We're going to have challenges. We're thinking up things to do to get these limited edition, shall I say.
That's right.
Dudes on Hockey t-shirts into your grubby little hands.
So we may come up with something by the time we're live on the air in early December on Chomp Talk.
Probably
we'll have something
before then.
That.
We'll probably have some ideas. And that will give you... So keep your ears peeled and your eyes peeled. It may be something associated on the blog as well. because awesome. Now we're all in one place.
We're everywhere.
Our branding has been consolidated, as it were.
Dude, I'm so stoked about my Scott Nickel puck. Thank you very much, dude. Did you get one?
No, I didn't.
Dude.
I just got one for you, dude.
Dude, that's really kind of you.
I know you like a mystery puck, dude. So I wanted...
You're a good friend.
I wanted you to be happy. And I'm glad.
I'm a little misty.
If it was Boyle, I would have stolen it. I bought it for myself. So there it was.
Honesty is always the best policy, dude.
Sometimes. Except when you're talking about Randy Rose.
I'm glad it wasn't Ken Huskins who got his ass kicked tonight in a fight.
That's true. That does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. You can check us out. Our blog will, starting this weekend, be also at dudesonhockey.com. And you can email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com.
You can friend us on Facebook.
Friend us on Facebook as well. So we will catch you again next week, same time, same place.
Good luck at your hockey game tonight, dude.
Thanks, dude.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.